Lime, duh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, wow, wow. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians and I take the wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling. Black, the Comedians of Wrestling heavyweight champion of the world. Wake up, step up, cheers up. AKA Donnie Capri from the time I went to Italy. AKA Donnie Wrestling. Donnie Wrestling. AKA the modern day goof and spoof, Raja.
WWE champion Jinder Mahal.
I'm not changing my lifestyle. I'm four or five women every day of my life.
Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby, gabba, gabba, wee.
Gabba, gabba, wee, gabba,
gabba, gabba, gabba, wee.
Gabba, gabba, wee, gabba, gabba, gay, gabba.
Shock the system.
This girl, she's mine. And
holy motherfucking shit.
Damn.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
Baby. She's hot. Woo. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy, muy caliente wrestling reactions. Woo. And before we get into it, you know what I got to do.
What is it? Yo.
What fucking flavor is that?
Lime, duh.
Oh, I see.
Crack into a Lime LaCroix. Hey, let's introduce the room right now to my friend, as always. He's a nasty, nasty boy. Nasty Newman.
Welcome to How About It City, bitch.
And the first lady, Erin Finnerty.
What up?
Yeah, and we have an amazing guest, returning guest, yeah. Back from a long time. You know this guy. You love this guy. He's a mark and a half. You know him from Podcast The Ride, amazing podcast, Mike Carlson.
Yo, yo, I'm here. I'm here. That's my call. That's my trademark call.
Yo, yo, I'm here.
Yo, yo, I'm here.
I love that.
I love yeah.
That. I love
pre-loaded
that.
Preloaded catchphrase.
I love it. By the way, Erin, I need more juice from the what up.
What up? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I need more. What up? I need more.
I gotta like, it's because I gotta get like the wind up, you know, the wind up to the lit up. So
absolutely.
I'm gonna work on it. I'm gonna work on it.
Well, Mike, thanks for being here. We're gonna
thanks
get into a lot of marquee talk. We're on, right now, we're on the road to WrestleMania. So there's a lot to say. And we're also on the road to Cowmania. By the way, Cowmania 2, April 4th. At the Cuban Club in Tampa before NXT. It's a hop, skip, and a jump, daddy, to NXT. It's literally like down the block,
it's,
right?
It's less than 3 miles.
Wow.
It's a 15-minute trolley ride if you want to take that.
You can take a trolley from Calmania to NXT.
A streetcar. How quaint.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
I got a streetcar.
16 minutes.
We going to get to WrestleMania.
Take it over now. How many are going to take over? All right. but 3 p.m. Saturday, April 4th. You can get your tickets right now on the show. Dolph Ziggler. Skylar Astin on the show. I mean, this is not news. And you get
don't
your
bring your girlfriend.
Don't bring your girlfriend to the show.
Oh, my God.
Because there's two guys.
Two.
Who will take her from you.
And you get your tickets right now at cowmania.brownpapertickets.com. And I got a big announcement right now. What? I will be announcing right now another special guest we will be having on the show. Another special guest.
Is he a threat to people's girlfriends?
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. He's a successful guy.
All right. Or I should say, is he a threat to people? About their girlfriends. Not a threat to their
I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you're talking about.
Will he take their girlfriends?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
Definitely possible.
Not looking good.
By the way, at all of my shows, your girlfriend's not safe.
No.
Let me tell you, your boyfriend's not safe because there's a lot of posturing going. It's the max posturing.
Right. A lot of flexing.
Yeah,
a lot
absolutely.
Of flexing.
I'm a full peacocking. I encourage it. I want you dressed in your Sunday best.
We don't let you in unless you're full peacocking.
Absolutely. Take your ring off when you come into a cow show.
Toss it in the bowl.
Leave
when
it
you
in
leave,
the safe.
You pick
yeah.
up another ring, and that's yeah. who you're going home with, baby.
Our special guest. I'm super pumped about this. He is the host of the Cheap Heat podcast.
Ah.
Sweet, sweet Peter Rosenberg
wow.
will be a confirmed guest at Cow Mania. So get your tickets now. The show's only getting spicier, daddy. Cowmania.brownpapertickets.com. Plus, the main event, the Cow Heavyweight Championship is on the line against Hassan. Who we chose last week.
Yeah.
The red velvet Haas. Hassan is going to Calmania.
RVH.
Absolutely. Also, before I forget, this podcast is grassroots. Remember to support this podcast. There's one way to do it. Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. And we're not asking for handouts, Daddy. You go on there. You got bonus episodes. You got bonus content. We got a movie dissection. The only movie dissection on the internet of Girl on the Third Floor.
That's right.
CM Punk's Netflix horror movie. Bonus episodes about AEW NXT come out on Friday mornings with the supermarket Nick Tulo, my best friend. Also, we got Cow eco-friendly heavyweight hoodies.
Oh my
Aaron,
god!
Tell them about the hoodies.
Oh, I mean, what do you want to know about these hoodies? We're in the responsible era. Our merch in this era is responsibly made, all manufactured in one building right here in North America. They have ethical practices. They do not use child, illegal, or forced or prison labor to manufacture. I mean, it's a beautiful
blue.
Oh,
you didn't know?
See? And it's a big get. They're exclusive, limited run, for patrons only. Email.
You think you know me.
You thought you knew it. But email cowhoodies@gmail.com. $50.
Cowhoodies@gmail.com.
Yep.
$50 shipped. Support the podcast.
Easy.
And responsibly sourced. And they're fucking dope. And they're extremely limited run.
I right. feel so QVC.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And,
like, three payments of $22.95 on FlexPay.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're going to want to call and get this deal now, folks.
Anyway, look, before we get into all the spiciness that is the week in pro wrestling, and I got so much more to talk about. We're coming off the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. But right now, for Mike, I'm excited that you're here for this.
Yeah.
We have an exclusive interview.
Okay.
With the number one contender, broadcast live from Sirius XM headquarters via Jason Shapiro, my best friend, is interviewing Hassan, and we're going to get to know this number one contender, the man that I will face April 4th. Let's go to him now.
Cool.
Good evening, Dan. This is Jason Shapiro reporting live from New York City, and I'm sitting down with Hassan, the man who will be challenging you for the Cow Heavyweight title, April 4th, Cuban Club. Hassan, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, yeah. This is my pleasure. You know, I'm coming here, and I'm hoping to show that I'm the true number one contender with nothing but respect in here.
I mean, that's clear. I think everyone who's seen you, seen your promo, seen the devotion you're bringing to the gym, they know that you have a lot of respect for Dan and that he's really helped shape you into the contender you are today. How's it going to feel to face off against one of your heroes?
Oh, I mean, this is just like living out my dreams and, you know, coming out to the Cuban Club and hopefully putting all my workouts to big the perfect use against you, against him, Dan.
Fantastic. So there was a lot of talk in the Facebook group where people could talk about wrestling until 4 in the morning under his eye. People were asking a lot of questions. We felt that people really wanted to get to know Hassan. They're getting behind Hassan. The red velvet Haas. You're becoming a contender in your own right. I made a promise on that thread that I would get to the bottom of something that everybody is talking about. What will your entrance attire be?
Let's see. I mean,
have you given it any thought?
Of course, hell yeah. But have you ever seen a picture of me? Am I not always dripped in the finest of gear? You know, I just bought this expensive jacket, and I think I'm definitely going to wear it in the hot, hot weather because it is just too fly. And I'm definitely probably going to wear a crushed red velvet singlet.
Love it. Love it. That's the answer I was looking for personally, because I think, honestly, when you're coming at the crown, a singlet, I know Dan likes bikinis, but a singlet is an old school class act move. And let me tell you something. I wish you a lot of luck. And of course, I wish my best friend Dan Black a lot of luck. And obviously, we're here connecting live right now. But I want to open up the floor to some of the people in the studio. Dan Black, the Cal heavyweight champion,
yes.
My best friend. Do you have any questions for the man you'll be squaring off against?
My question for Hassan is, are you ready to go, bro? Are you ready to go? Because I know everything.
Hell yeah.
I know everything I need to know about you from that promo. I feel like you thoroughly impressed me by stepping up to the plate, showing that you're living a responsible lifestyle, and you're lifting like a beast. I feel like you present a lot of challenges. I've met you at Calmania. I saw you were a front row at Adult Wrestling Fan on my taping. Hassan, I actually have one question for you. This is my real main question for you, okay? And be honest with me. Are you looking to have a clean bout? Are you looking to have a clean bout? We know that most matches, all the Cal heavyweight matches we've had so far have been pretty fucking dirty. And in this responsible era, I'm looking to get some good, clean wrestling going on my end, and that's partially why I chose you. Now, you've already got the number one contender spot. You know, the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. So let's be honest here, bro. You looking to come at me, correct? Now that you have what you wanted, I'd just like to know.
Of course. I mean, if you do not see the respect that I have for you in my eyes in the first promo, then I think you're just afraid that everybody that's coming for that title is going to pull something dirty on you. But me, I come through with nothing but respect for the title, mainly, and I only want to put on a great match.
Very admirable.
This is exactly why I chose you. I feel more confident about my pick more than ever after hearing that answer, Hassan. Great. And then my last question, I'm going to open up to Mike, Aaron, and Newman is, how much do you bench?
Oh, I bench 450 easy.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
I have a question. I have a question. Dan, how much do you weigh?
Yeah, right now I'm weighing in at 190.
All
right. So well, this guy can bench me easy.
Easy.
Hey, Hassan, this is Newman, Cal Podcast. How about it? I got a question for you. Did you know that red velvet cake is just chocolate cake with red food coloring?
And less cocoa.
That's a great question. Yes. I got to say, that is a fantastic question.
Yes, of course I did. But when you're getting it from Junior's Cheesecake out here in Brooklyn, it is next level. And the red dye, you don't taste it. So you gotta go with it.
All right. I like to taste the red dye. I cede the rest of my time to Mike.
Hi, Hassan. This is Mike Carlson here. I'm from a podcast called Podcast That Writes About Theme Parks. That's neither here nor there. I have a quick question for you. I've seen a lot of your videos. I'm very impressed. I don't want you to give away what's going to happen come any weekend, but if you could give me a couple songs that you would like inspire you or like you would use for your entrance. I'm not saying give me your entrance music now. I'm just saying, are there a couple musical tracks? You could even say something that's already a wrestling entrance theme that really get you going.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if you ever heard of the band Let Live, but they make this whole album is called The Black is the Beautiful, and that is strictly my workout music. And then if you throw in Shinsuke's recent music, it's perfect.
Got it. Shinsuke. So a hybrid of those two.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Eric Finney's coming at you with a question. The first lady.
Yeah, I have a question. It's more for you, Dan. How did we get here?
Yeah.
What?
How did we get here? Hassan?
What do you mean?
Hassan?
Are you still not sold on Hassan?
No,
all right.
No, I mean, it's whatever. Aaron, can we talk about Hassan, whatever. But, you know, it's fine.
Yeah. No, Aaron, I'm in these matches. I'm looking to have a nice, clean match with Hassan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm pumped with it, Hassan.
All right, hold on. I don't like where this is going here. I'm going to take the reins back here. This is my interview, okay? And I don't like... I'm done lending out the questions to a bunch of people I've never heard of. Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
And Newman. I guess I've heard of him before, too.
Here's what I need to know from you, Hassan.
And this is... And again, Dan, you know, I love you like a brother.
Yeah.
And this is not to insinuate that you're going to lose the title. And in fact, I truly don't know what's going to happen. And as a fan, I'm just excited to see a matchup that I think is going to put asses in seats. I mean, we got a powerhouse in Red Velvet Haas versus, you know, the two-time champion, Donnie Kayfabe himself, Donsky Blackamora. I'm excited as a fan to see this match. So, Dan, don't take offense to this because I'm not saying that I support anyone.
Just being two-time champion, I just want to say. I also have incredible discipline, focus, and passion. So, don't discredit me in that. Okay. Not just I am the champion. The reason I'm the champion.
I didn't know that me calling you a two-time champion was discrediting to you. I'm sorry if you took that as an insult. I meant it as just like a credit. But anyway, here's my thing, Dan.
Yeah.
Again, just a preface. This is not to take sides or insinuate an outcome either way. But Hassan, you've dreamt of this moment as long as you've been a fan of the pod, perhaps as long as you've been a fan of wrestling, putting that belt around your waist, whether it's eco-friendly or not, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. What would your plan be upon winning the title and becoming the Cal Heavyweight Champion? What would you do next?
I would take on all challengers once I become the champion.
Any vacations, any destinations, any celebrations, any ruminations?
No, we gotta restore respect for that title. So I will take on anybody who would want to take me on after
respect
that.
To the title, dude. There's tons of. I already restored respect to this title. Can we not say that? I made it responsible. I made the title eco-friendly. I won it fair and square against a man, a much larger man, who attacked me in my home without announcing it. I avenged my loss. Admitted that defeat. Even while I was hit by a kendo stick with a man who was cheating with ketosis. I beat Adam Letterman last year for the title. I've done enough to respect this. Hassan, watch it, dude. I know we're getting along,
Dan, please, hold on. You're getting very touchy, you're getting very heated, you're getting very aggravated, and I don't think that's what's happening here in this interview. Okay, what we have here is a contender who's saying that he wants to be a fighting champ. We have a contender who says he wants to respect the title. What else do you need, you know, like?
What the fuck?
Hello? Shebs? Hassan.
The call just dropped. It's not showing up.
Yeah, I don't hear anything.
Anosh, come on, man.
It's not showing up on my
end. Call him. Get him back on the line.
All right, hold on. Just a sec.
Mike, I'm sorry about this.
Back on the line?
Yo, dude, this is literally, we have Hassan, the number one contender. I announced this.
I'm sorry. It's just not showing up on my board. I didn't touch anything. All right, I'll get him back on the line. Just let me.
Here, oh, my God. Hey, everyone, I'm sorry. We'll get Hassan back, but great. We got him?
Hold on, just a second.
What's going, Hassan?
Good one. Yeah, really good one.
Okay, anyway, well, get them back.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
So I guess we just do the podcast? Yeah.
All right, anyway, so I guess ring the bell. No, should we get them back on the line?
It's not ringing. It's not even, it's just going to nothing. I don't know what's going on. Just do the pod. I'll work on this. I'll bring it up when it comes up.
I guess ring the bell.
Okay. Yeah, I guess let's ring the bell. We'll talk about wrestling. But I'm glad. I'll say from what we got from Hassan, we'll get him back on, hopefully, if Anosh does his fucking job.
Yeah, I'm trying.
We'll get Hassan back in the line. I'm glad to hear that we're going to have a clean match down in Tampa.
Yeah, sounds like
it's enough. It's enough of this. We're in the responsible era of the podcast. It's enough of rewarding tough guy behavior.
All right.
Aaron, let's ring the bell. Mike, I apologize.
That's okay. Everything's fine.
You had some more questions for Hassan, but
yeah, I did. But okay. Yeah.
we'll get them.
All right, guys.
All right, so wow, we are in WrestleMania season. We're coming off Elimination Chamber this weekend.
Lamination Chamber.
The Elimination Chamber.
Hey,
you think you know me?
we're coming off Elimination Chamber. we got to me, Aaron, and Newman. We got to watch a lot of it together.
Yeah, that was a real treat.
Really fun. Uh-huh. That was for me the most fun part about that pay per view.
I would agree.
Hanging with you guys.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Eating chips and hanging with my dogs.
Yeah,
because this I was not that into this pay per view. I think that the general consensus. I got a lot of texts, many texts, some of the top texts.
Wow.
From people saying
from who?
This pay per view sucked, right?
People.
Yeah, it was a bit of a slog.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mike, did you see Elimination Chamber?
Yes, I did. Preparing for this podcast, I watched Elimination Chamber and Monday Night Raw all in its entirety for the first time in a few months, maybe.
I'm so sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm much more clip based these days, match based.
Yeah.
So yes, I watched both.
What is in the AEW era, Mike Carlson, you've been on the podcast in the past, and now
yes.
I'm so pumped to have you back in here. But what is a Mike Carlson weekly wrestling regimen look like? For a little backstory on Mike, it's like you're at most PWG shows.
Yes,
right? almost every.
Almost every. I'm a, what do you call me? A smark?
What
do you
smark?
I'm like above it all as far as main roster.
Yeah.
There's an attitude though against me for that, I feel like, by some people in the community, wrestling community. I don't know. I forget. Is it smark? Maybe
no,
it's smark.
Actually, I think it's part of what makes wrestling so great is that there's different kinds of fans.
Sure.
I would say most of our, what flavor?
Oh, I'm done.
Yeah. Wow.
You think you know me.
But yeah, I love that there's all, and as wrestling expands, we're going to get more. That's, you know, wrestling's doing well is healthy is that there's a diversity of fans. You know what I mean? It's like, if you like baseball, you're not like, I like the outfield.
right.
I'm more of an infield guy.
Yeah.
No, yeah, so I think that's part of why I like having you in here.
Yeah.
But I'm curious now with the quantity so high right now.
I am basically, I watch AEW live. I try to make sure to watch NXT.
Right.
And if I hear something's good, if I personally know a wrestler, I will watch it. My friend John Morrison is back in WWE.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about it.
How buff is that guy?
Been on the podcast, friend of the show.
He looks fantastic.
He looks shrink-wrapped.
If my buddy Zack Ryder, who does our podcast.
Oh, yeah, he's a toy guy.
I'm a Zig fan.
Yep.
He bought me a White Claw at the Viper Room a couple months ago.
Dolph?
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
And
also Zack Ryder. I'm a friend of Zack Ryder. I see him at all the Ziggler shows we perform out together. We hang in the back. And we're a couple Long Island bros. He always gives me a toy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's addicted to collecting toys.
He's like a reverse Santa.
Isn't Chelsea Green like, does it like that about him or something? Right, there was like a thing that kind of went viral or whatever.
They post a meme about her seeing like 7 Amazon packages at the door every day, and it's all for Ryder and his collection. I don't know if he was seriously upset with me. I was saying that if like his like room where he collects everything is like Toy Story, all of his toys are miserable because they're shoulder to shoulder,
right.
So that all his toys are very unhappy. And he texted me and he goes, my toys are happy, asshole.
Yeah, you hurt his feelings. You hurt his feelings.
So funny.
But you see, you watched Raw and Elimination Chamber.
Thank you.
I did, yes.
I think these are, Raw was good, but not amazing, but it was good. And Elimination Chamber was really bad. And I feel like it was kind of like I think we would say Saudi Arabia fucked it up, right?
Yeah. That was what we kind of thought was going to happen. And that was what happened.
Yeah, I mean, what were you going to say?
I haven't tried to get through a 3-hour Raw. First of all, let me just say up front, I like almost all of the wrestlers on the main roster. Anytime I'm ever going to be like, oh, this is a long show, it's not their fault.
Right.
I think most of them are great. Yeah. I just find the pacing of the show bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I find a lot of the, whatever you'd call storylines, all this stuff. I don't know. Whatever the presentation they're doing isn't keeping me. I remember by the end of like the 3rd hour, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I always feel like when I'm watching Raw, if we're talking about I get to that last match and then I'm always like, if it's like a 6-man tag, I could be like, all right, I can stop.
You
now.
Can log off.
And they've been doing that where it's like, they kind of tell you like, you don't need to watch anymore.
Right.
Because those matches send the crowd home happy. Cause they're like, it's normally like Rollins will do like 20 like suicidas and like the crowd goes nuts and you're like, you could stop. But, yeah, so the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Look, It's they removed a lot of the stakes from the pay per view. I think like let's just jump to the like we didn't have the Reigns win, which is probably what needed to happen, but they just kind of threw it with Goldberg. But let's talk about the only thing that really I think the only thing that happened that really matters that wasn't already kind of already set, which is Shayna Baszler locked in as the number one contender for the women's title at WrestleMania against Becky Lynch. Look, I'll start with my take on Shayna. I'm not a big fan. I feel like she is important for the women's division. I understand her value because it's to have someone that big, strong, dominant. The women's division just needs more wrestlers to begin with. But on top of it all, they need more threatening women. You know, so I think that she has a lot of value there. But in terms of the package, I felt like I don't feel like she delivered totally in that match. I feel like the crowd was kind of dead. And also, they booked it in a way not to her strengths, to her credit.
Right.
So it's like they booked it, which I guess in theory probably sounded pretty cool, where it's like Shayna is so dominant that she's kind of standing there. But yeah. I felt like it read as that. I feel like that's for a more charismatic performer.
Well, they gave it like the Brock Lesnar Royal Rumble treatment, where it was just like elimination after elimination. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that the low points were, and this is, I think, what most people thought was like between the eliminations when she was just
so long.
I think that there is a competitor out there who can fill those gaps and like make it interesting and fun and like exciting. But Shayna just wasn't the one. Yeah. And
she's small. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say she's like not as explosive as Lesnar also. Yeah. Like so it's like it's like they know how to do a couple things on the main roster, and that is one of the things they know they can do. But with the main roster, and a complaint in general, of course, about the main roster is they cast people in roles versus like what do you do well?
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Like, back, right? We don't get it back.
No, it's not. I don't know if it's UCB's connection. I don't think so. But
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's just it feels like because Vince or whoever. I mean, I'm probably other people are watching NXT. Vince never seen NXT. I mean, we see a pay per view here and there, but that's about it. So it's like
I think the other thing about Shayna, it's like she has a lot to learn, and her and Rhea are being thrown into a different. It's completely different than Full Sail, and I feel like. I've called it Full Sail heat a lot, and I'm not trying to be overly negative, but she has that slam move that she does, which is kind of like, it's a little overly complicated compared to like a German suplex.
It's new.
Right? It's new, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen her do it.
It's the first time I've seen her do it.
Yeah, it's a little like she wraps the arms like in pedigree style, right?
Yeah.
And then she flips you up on the shoulder and then flips you back onto your belly. And you're like, it doesn't happen as fast as it needs to have to seem explosive, the move. And she needed to just be like tossing everybody. But everything was happening. The whole thing was just it felt like slow-mo. Yeah. Like it was slow. And she does not have the charisma to like, to be honest, when she was going like, everybody get pumped, I felt like sad for her. I was like, oh, this is not going. She's not getting the crowd as hyped as she needed to.
Small tweak is just have her come out last and then do that same thing, but eliminate everybody in a row instead of like having those weird pauses as she's waiting for another chamber.
Yeah, because they could have filled that time in between. Yeah, because Asuka in the chamber still was getting the crowd more excited from within that space than Shayna was in the middle of the ring, you know?
There's a couple of
not a good sign.
I didn't notice it on the actual pay-per-view, but I saw a clip later where Natty threatens Liv Morgan. She's like, this is you, you're next. And then you hear Liv from within the chamber go, oh, fuck.
I missed that.
I didn't see that. Yeah. But the other thing that didn't help her, because I'm not a Shayna fan, but I'm kind of defending her. This booking was not great for her, is 100%. What I'm coming
at.
Well, her style
her opponents were not good either.
Her style is like a very slow, methodical submission style.
Magician.
Submission magician.
She's a bit of a submission magician.
She's the cage fighter.
Yeah.
Shayna Baszler.
I know, which is a below our intelligence gimmick. It's like, what does that even mean?
Is she going to be
cage fighting?
Will she be Baszler next week? Just Shayna? Do you think Vince will go that far and just take one of her names away?
It's possible. We have this in from Vince. Here's her new name.
Baby!
I'm sorry, she's going by. It's a loud baby. But I, look, the thing is, okay, her moveset, her opponents needed to be like, I understand, like they needed to be like mincemeat, like because it's like the Riot Squad, the Riot Squad, Natty, Oscar. The only one in there who was a real competitor was Oscar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the rest were like jabronis. So I feel like the way it needed to happen was she needed to like, what I would have done is I would have like tied all of them up in the ropes and like hostile. You know what I mean? Like, oh, which one of you do I get to fucking kill? And like, they all needed to look like peons compared to The Rock. You know, peons. But instead it was like, oh, I'm just going to all choke you out. And her chokeouts are like, they're like sleeper holds. They're kind of boring.
Yeah.
And she's not even like screaming enough. Like it rear feels naked. Very forced. Yeah. A lot of rear nakeds. It just like the whole thing didn't really work. And the problem is this. It's like, fine. She needs time to figure it out. She's going to main event WrestleMania. You know what I mean? She's going to wrestle Becky. And they don't have Becky's cleaned out the whole division. So they're relying on her. They say Vince is not sold on her. And by the way, if that's leaked, that means she's in her head about that also.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it wasn't fun. People who were there were texting me and being like, it sucked.
Multiple boots on the ground people reported back that it wasn't a good time. That match in particular, I think they singled out as one that wasn't great.
Yeah,
in person.
So, I'm more off of main roster because I just don't. The NXT main roster transition rarely goes smoothly or swimmingly.
But now they're going right from NXT headlining WrestleMania.
Which Riddle should be main eventing WrestleMania. It's crazy to me. It should happen more, but it's not done with the same, it's not done with care as much. Feels like it's a different character. We're coming in fresh
here. I mean, we're all Riddle marks. Riddle, I think sky's the limit for Riddle.
But and wait, by the way, when will it happen?
Right. I mean, Alistair, I think they're starting to do good
a
work.
A year too late.
I think Vince likes Aleister Black now.
Happened? He likes him now.
Yeah, he likes Aleister Black now. He's starting to push him. Although he still has Aleister Black's gimmicks a little like, it's a little like Alice in Wonderland-y. It's a little like, you knock on my door, you fight me. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It's a little like
Alice in Wonderland-y.
It's a little like mad. Uh-huh. I don't know. I had like a Mad Hatter vibe this week because he sits in like the black and it's like, well, you knocked on my door. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It's a little goofy even though he plays it serious.
Yeah.
And I mean it almost like it's kind of growing on me what they're doing with him a little bit. But
he actually he kicked AJ Styles in the face.
That
wasn't even like a fake kick. He just kicked him in the fucking face.
The black mask, it's up to you if you time it right.
Right.
It's up to you. He's just, there's nothing about what he does that's not just a kick to your face.
Right. Yeah, you just get in the jaw.
Yeah. It's just a kick to the face. You have to turn or else you're going to break your jaw.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'm surprised more guys don't get like destroyed from that move.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised, like, just kicks to the face in general.
Oh, yeah. Like, even the hell of a kick, the Huluva kick.
Kick.
Such a good-looking move, man.
It's a great-looking move. I'm like, the brogue kick. I'm like, these moves have to fucking kill.
There was, being the Elite from the AEW pay-per-view, Kenny Omega had a big boot print on his face from one of the Young Bucks. Like, it's not, like, that doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
It's crazy.
But, yeah, I just, the thing with Shayna, it's like, okay, but at least, I just want to say, at least Shayna, like, won the chamber. It's like, all right, she's going. What's, like, Rhea Ripley is just, like, the promos of her are, I'm hanging out in Tampa Stadium. Have you seen those?
No, I haven't.
I saw the one last night. Yeah. It was all right. I don't know.
I don't get her as a character at all. Like, I'm kind of like, what? And then Bayley's going to have a match?
Woof.
I don't know what's happening.
Goodbye.
Though.
Woof, Phil.
Three Rhea Ripley's.
You think Shayna should beat Becky?
No,
yes.
I don't think so.
I think she has to, right?
No, she doesn't have to.
I don't know what this old man is going to make happen. Yeah. I can't make heads or tails of it.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make, the booking is all over the place. He quits on people. Brock Lesnar wrestles Ricochet. Ricochet's on main event 2 weeks later.
Right.
It's crazy.
When Shayna first arrived in NXT, her whole thing was that she was literally bullying every other woman.
Right.
She would like go into the locker room, she'd like, get out, this is my locker room, harassing people. they drop that to make her into someone who bites people.
Well, yeah, but it's right. Like once you bite, the thing about biting is like it's
now you bite.
Now you bite, and then it's everything she's done since has been a major dehydrant.
Right,
right. Mm-hmm. So even in the cage, there's no blood. She literally bit her neck, so she doesn't bite anyone in the cage. Right. When it's like this is her big show.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean. I don't know. I don't really know what to say. Like, Shayna did not step up to plate. Now, let's talk about what I liked for a second. So, and Cody Brown in the group brought it up, which was like, oh, when she's waiting for people to come out of the pod, that's a really cool moment. Like, mm-hmm. just a pace. Because, you know, you think of Darth Maul, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Of course.
Like, when those, mm-hmm. in episode one, like, one of the best scenes in all of Star Wars, in the worst movie in all of Star Wars, arguably. Episode one, the worst Star Wars movie?
Yes. No.
I thought it was episode two.
Two is like
I think Phantom Menace is the worst one.
No. That's a whole nother. You don't want to get started on this.
Probably episode two is a worse overall. It, because of how good Darth Maul is, it makes episode one better than episode two.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a whole other can of worms. But if we just think about Shayna was trying to pull off the Darth Maul, like the pacing back and forth. And it made me think about how fucking cool if Alistair was in that spot and he just meditated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, which is what Qui-Gon does.
Right.
Yeah.
If he just did the Qui-Gon and was waiting for, like, meditate, they come out, black mask, back to meditating. I mean, come on. And by the way, don't let me forget.
Dude, the little spinny directly into the sit down.
Oh, yes. My God. Yeah. But don't let me forget, by the way, I have the best idea for Seth Rollins. I think it's the best writing of all time.
All right.
You want to put it out on this show?
I'm going to put it out on the show. And WWE, you could steal it because clearly you're not hiring me.
Hemingway, Melville, this booking.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, I thought it was cool. But Shayna was trying to pull off the Darth Maul.
Yeah.
The problem was I could see as a performer, she was not committing to a shark, like the shark pacing.
Yeah.
She mm-hmm. needed to really, like, just like, and the crowd would have eaten it up if she committed to pacing back, like, come on, let's go, open the pod, mm-hmm. and then get to the point where she's just breaking pods open before. Yeah. There was a lot to do to get her over.
Yes.
And they didn't give it to her, or she didn't grab the brass ring and just fucking do it. Right. And that's the problem with wrestlers. Here's an observation about wrestlers.
Yeah.
Mike, I want to know what you think about this.
Go ahead.
Wrestlers seem, when the seams break, they seem so beaten down by the way booking works in wrestling and how you don't have ownership over your creativity that I see nervousness of them to make choices. They're so nervous to break from script. And I think that's what Shane is like. What should I do here? It's like, she should be doing whatever the fuck she wants.
Right.
There's nothing, when you tap someone out, there's nothing wrong you could do. This is not the NFL where you're in the end zone and you're not allowed to taunt and this and that.
But
this is only the end zone.
But if you listen to Moxley talk about WWE, right. he always goes, all these old timers tell me I can do whatever I want. I should just go crazy. I should make something happen. He goes, a producer or a writer will get fired. If I start doing stuff that isn't on script, it will actually be like repercussions for me or somebody else.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think everyone is like such a script they're supposed to stick to that everyone's probably freaked out to, like, you know, improvise, feel something in the moment and like do something crazy. I mean, I think guys get chewed out all the time, and guys and girls get chewed out all the time for slightly going off script or doing something in a match.
But if you're Shayna, you're in the middle of fucking Philly, one of the best wrestling crowds that exists, right?
How about
you climb on top of a pod and you start bashing the top of it.
I think
a
she
monkey.
Gets screamed at.
And just
an
like,
old man would like scream at her. An old man would scream
she did
at her.
Nothing. She like took her hair
I would,
down.
I would not blame her for this. There's no. I think everyone is scared shitless.
Well,
of doing something wrong.
That's all, and
that's
I think how
that's
combo
what you're sensing.
Got it started is me saying, I see in the eyes the same way, like I could see when somebody forgets their lines or whatever. Like you could feel like they don't know what to do. I saw her lose confidence, right? And that's why she lost the crowd. Everyone could smell it, feel it. They see her. Oh, I see a performer, not a fighter. And it happened for her.
Mm-hmm.
And the seams, her greenness, really shined through. And that's what Full Sail Heat. If you go down to Full Sail, you watch it. Keith Lee right now. Watch Keith Lee. Go come out, cut a very, very jabroni promo, and they're going, bask in his glory or whatever. And they're filling it up. And it's like, oh, man, I'm killing it. But they're not. when you travel around the country and you're playing big arenas, it's tougher.
But it is tougher. But a big part of it is in NXT, they're taking more time with everybody,
right,
in the sense that they know what's going to work. Obviously, that crowd is hot. The AEW crowds are hot. So they're going to be a little bit hotter than a normal crowd. That being said, you can still feel NXT shows and AEW shows when something dips.
Right.
So, like, you just have to reset your crowd meter. A crowd in general in NXT and AEW are going to be hotter, but you can still tell what's really working, what's not, just by, like, changing,
yes,
you know, if there's a scale you can see versus the main roster. I'm just saying that, like, yeah, stuff's going to get over easier, but you can still tell when something's really clicking versus when it's fake clicking because everyone wants, it's like trying to will it to click.
Right.
Yeah, but you can get away with just like, I choke people out and that's my gimmick and that's all I have down. That's all I mean.
You can. So you know,
but it doesn't matter because like, I don't think that that's necessarily like, they need to change the whole thing. It's just you need time to adjust. But my point is, now she's going against arguably the most famous women, like the probably the most famous women's wrestler, maybe ever, Becky or something, right? Like the most over. That, and now she has to lose, in my opinion, but she might just win.
She might win. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? You would think that both new people to the main roster, Shayna and Rhea, have right, to win.
And I would love if Shayna got to this place where Becky was like, you know what? I got to be honest, I'm a little scared, like, or something like that. But they're not there, and that's whatever. That's where it is. But, yo, I think Shayna, I go back to it every time. I probably would book the same thing. I think also, cool thing about Shayna we're forgetting is you can put Ronda front row, and Becky starts beating the shit out of Ronda during that match also, and you set that up. So Shayna comes with Ronda, which is great for Mania. The match we want to see is the Becky Ronda match. So right, if that can ever come, that'd be great. Anyway, but I can imagine Ronda being like, I don't want to take away from Shayna's moment,
sure,
but at the same time, Vince has a lot of control.
Here's my final take on Baszler.
Yeah.
I think she could legitimately fold all of us like laundry.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And that's all I need for her to be one of my guys. It's just, I see that.
You like
she's
being
scary,
folded like laundry.
She's like a legit threat, a credible threat. She could beat everybody that I know up. I don't need anything else to be like, all right, I'll let this unfold the way it does.
No more Mr. Nice Q!
Yeah. Wow, coming with a hot take. there's a lot that... But that's why we agree there.
Right.
I'm saying that Shayna, they need Shayna because she's a credible threat in the women's division, and they need more credible threats. You have, like, no offense to, like, Naomi. I love Naomi. She might be doing some of her best work right now in a lot of ways, but I don't think of her as a fighter.
No.
Well, that's why you have, like...
She's like a dancer.
Like Shayna Baszler and Rhea Ripley kind of, like, fast-tracked into this main roster picture. It's a different story now because like NXT is on prime time. It's like it's an option.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why maybe they're greener, but now they're in this big picture. There's not as much time to marinate. So there is always room for a formidable opponent to people like Charlotte and Becky. And these are probably the two best ones. But
I still
need work.
Thought about going Sasha Banks in one of these.
Well, Sasha's always an option because like, she's a psycho.
Sasha Banks is,
she's a psycho.
She must, I don't know what, she must be some, like, we don't know the half of what's
going
on with Sasha.
I met her once. She seemed nice.
I'm sure she's nice,
really?
But she's competitive. Like,
I'm saying a lot where I know wrestlers. I feel like I'm acting like an asshole. I'm so sorry.
That was a clip. That was Mike Carlson apologizing.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
No, dude.
That was my sentiment.
Wrestlers are around.
This is a name drop friendly podcast.
Yeah,
for sure.
Watch your toes. We're dropping names.
Yeah. Look out.
All right, let's move on. So I got to talk about this. So this is a big thing going around.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people, it's called COVID-19. No, folks.
The people.
Yeah, anyway.
It's going to be fun.
Here's the deal. Stay safe. there's a lot of talk now from credible people that Bray losing the belt to Goldberg was good for the character.
Mm.
A lot of people being like, if you look at this booking, actually, it's genius.
It's genius?
Yeah. So I heard,
genius?
Wait, what are we deciphering hieroglyphics? Like, what the fuck is it?
Genius.
Well, I heard this
level.
Clip of Bully Ray explaining it. And
I just like when he's talking and I see those clips.
Yeah, you seen those clips?
Yeah.
I saw this clip of him saying that Basically, they had a couple points, which is that, like, oh, it's great. This character, he's been on his decline. Like, since that Cena loss at Mania is what sent him on his, like, descent into becoming the Fiend. Mm-hmm. Which is fine, but it is the booking, and I do like it. I do like that it's because, like, losing to Cena, it's like, oh, if you point to that, that was it all went downhill from there. It's definitely a little bit of a stretch because he in that time has went into Albania with the championship. He then reinvented his character since, and then also won the Universal Championship as a new character. Right. So it's definitely might be the story to tell, but it's also not. It's not just the truth.
No, you know they're, what I mean? they're grasping and strong.
Yeah, you're right. Like glossing over like several years in the middle, right? Where like a lot happened.
Right. Yeah. The good point they did make was that like WWE wins because the point was Goldberg. We're booing Goldberg, and that helps Reigns. You're right. We're mad at Goldberg, so don't do anything to that. But it's like, is our bar that low? Yeah.
Yes.
That it's like, right? The bar is that low.
Fucking
low. Like, you're going to take an event that is 100,000 people who want something, and you have to book it shittily just to get them to manipulate them to cheer one guy for that no one wants. Yeah. It's like, can we as fans be a little, like, not get worked into being like, this is good. Fiend losing was not good. It's not good. No. It made sense if you want to get Reigns over, but that's it.
Right.
He was that's on the run to be the champion going into Mania. Like, you're saying that Fiend going in against John Cena, and if Cena wins, he's the 17-time champion, but he has to get past this unstoppable, unbeatable force, and he loses, Cena loses, is not the right booking? Get out of here. Right. Get out of here. What you're doing is you're just being contrarian for content purposes. I'm sorry to say
because
as a man who's on here every single week looking for content and shit to say... A lot of times, the initial reaction from the smarks and the marks is correct. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The gymnastics people online do to make sense of these storylines is crazy. Like, this is obviously like, I get it. They want Goldberg Reigns. That's a money match in the minds of casual people.
Spear.
That being said, it doesn't make any sense with a story. It was a quick booking decision to try to boost buys for WrestleMania, which I understand. But yes, it's not. There's no long-term plan.
Right.
No. Like, it's crazy to think that Vince doesn't remember what happened 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, no shit.
He didn't give a shit about any of that.
I guess I don't really know. I mean, you know, I'm not a perfect person. I'm not a perfect person, but I think that maybe I'm silly, but my friends who are casual fans are already sold on John Cena, right? If you're like, John Cena's in a match, like, yo, Cena's wrestling? And then if they saw Fiend... For the first time, they're like, who the fuck is this guy? He's the man. Like, my friends would be like, that. My casual friends, I always call it the John Wadowski test. My friend John Wadowski has been on the podcast. He's a casual wrestling fan, Attitude Era guy. He still hears, he's like, yo, Triple H is on Mania? Yeah, I'll watch that.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think the Fiend against Cena for the title... And he wears the title around his neck, and you give him an incredible entrance outside at night.
Yeah,
they'll be like, that guy's fucking awesome.
Right. Yes, I think that'll happen. But like, it's just they're literally just booking moment to moment. I mean, like, I just the idea that any of this stuff has like you could follow it on a map and it would make sense.
They've been planning it for years.
I go nuts looking at Twitter and Facebook. I lose my mind if I ever check in on like
guys, what
hardcore
are you talking about?
WWE because I like a lot of WWE stuff. I can say this Randy Orton angle we'll talk about is good so far. Like I think it's good.
It's
I think
really
he's performing
good.
Really well. It's like the best stuff in a while from him. That being said. Like you look at and I look I'm going to sound like an AEW mark but like you look at this new Young Bucks Kenny Omega Page angle that's literally been seeded since August since the Young Bucks turned Page down to accompany him to the ring versus Jericho like we're doing like long term did you mean that was you can put it do it again if you want
Yeah, I got it. Hold on.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
Around Mushmore.
But we're getting like references to Kota Ibushi in these goddamn matches. This is a long-term, well-thought-out angle. So when I can see an example of something that's actually thought out versus this, it's like, this is just, they just made a decision this week to do something.
I think that comes too from like the Bucks' time in New Japan where like the whole thing, like in New Japan where like the story of this match is like, can Kenny Omega hit this move? And it's like over three matches trying to hit the, and so like the shit they pay attention to is so much more fine grained than like anything WWE.
Well, just
the
fact
that
Kenny has a move that no one's ever kicked out of.
Right. Ever. Yeah. It's amazing.
When somebody does, it's going to be, it's like, you know,
people
will
lose
their
minds.
Own. Right. Well, I have the guy who, the street guy, the guy when, but you know, well, I'm just saying, guys, come on. I see you guys in the Facebook group. I know some of you who hear my opinion and immediately formulate the opposite opinion. Now,
it's like they don't even think it before you say it. It's you saying it that makes them backtrack and think.
And I love it because it's fun. It's fun. We have conversation. But when it comes to Bray Wyatt, who I think is one of the most special wrestling talents of all time, has a set of tools that we arguably we've never seen before. I think that we have to. He needs to be pushed and protected a little.
I would 100% agree. It was the hottest thing going, and there was a series of decisions made that feel like he's on his way down again.
Goldberg? So even if it's like him, he points at the sign, right? And then one of our listeners, I love the guy. I'm not knocking you. It was like, oh, well, monsters. It's like, I'm like, well, he pointed a sign. That's not what the Fiend would do. If his whole demise is wrapped up in John Cena, which is the story they're looking to tell, and he has John Cena, who's never around, in front of him, he would beat his ass.
Right.
Right? Or do something to him. But instead he's like, hey, you want to wrestle at a WrestleMania? You want to do this thing?
It didn't even like catch on fire or something.
No. Right. You
or
do
like blood rains down from the scion of the audience.
Oh, that would have been lit.
Yeah. That would have been dope. So it's like, oh, well, we go through all this thing. It's like, oh, that's what monster, you know, he was like, oh, well, horror guys, what they do is they try to trap their
snooze already.
Like, it's not what's happening. It's like, right?
No, it's invented. It's like when it's like, you know, Jar Jar Binks was actually responsible for the fall. Like, there's all these fan theories, and it's like, well, you're just trying to square a circle. You're just trying to make sense.
Square circle.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where they wrestled.
I mean, he was responsible because he was in the Senate, but that's another
story. I'm excited for Bray Cena. It's just a little bit of a bummer that it's going to be like a weird grudge match when he had the title. And now Goldberg is the champion.
Goldberg is the champion. Though?
It's like, it doesn't feel right.
This is why week to week I grow less interested in watching outside of just segments I heard are good or the people I know are in it. Because it's like, okay, well, I can watch WrestleMania. Oh, I'm just in the ether, Cena, Bray Wyatt, fine. Oh, that's interesting. But it's not like I'm going to be compelled weekly to.
Well, and you'll save yourself the frustration of like. The lead up.
It's very easy to like, just like kind of like when Raw is on, go on Twitter, watch the GIFs.
Yes.
And you got the gist.
Like, oh, there's Andrade Rey ladder match. I'll watch that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then nothing else? Fine. Despite, you know, a roster full of people I like.
Let's move on to something.
Despite 250 contracted wrestlers.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming at you, everybody. We're going to talk about AJ Styles right now in his promo on Raw. Did you like it? Did you not like it? We'll find out after the break. Tip your bartenders. Do it. All right. So AJ Styles, we had Undertaker interrupt at Elimination Chamber.
Mm-hmm. Which, before we move on, it was the intention there that Aleister Black
became
the Undertaker, and then when he left, he was back to be like. Did the Undertaker inhabit his form? Is that what happened?
Two spooky boys.
I fucking hope so. Yeah, they are spooky boys, and Aleister Black feels like the perfect heir to that throne.
Yeah,
I mean, Aleister Black should be the guy Now at this point, since Undertaker has prolonged his retirement, mm-hmm. he should be killed by Adam Mania by either The Fiend or Aleister Black in a Spooky Boy match.
Yeah.
And he should inherit his soul, and it should be the angle. The angle should be like, if you beat me, you can encompass me.
Well, the precedent has been set now that the Undertaker can like transmorph into a wrestler of his choosing.
Yeah. He can Shang Tsung the wrestler.
Yeah.
The Mortal Kombat reference for you.
He
goes in through.
He morphs though. He changes. Into he's like a changeling. Yeah.
Well, the lights went out, so he didn't get to see that part. Mm.
Right.
But yeah, the thing is, AJ cut his promo on Monday. And his promo was something I've wanted for a long time, which is the acknowledgement of Taker being a broken down piece of meat.
Yeah.
Mark.
Yeah. Right? It's a bummer, though.
Yes, it is a bummer.
I don't disagree. It's a good idea. It's interesting to go there.
It's interesting to go there, except for it directly contradicts the Spooky Boy thing, kind of, which is like, now we're taking the mythology out of Undertaker, and we're just calling him a guy with kids, right?
Yes.
Now, which is a big choice, and I would have loved this choice if it was 2 years ago.
Yes.
Or if it wasn't the exact same storyline as Edge and Randy.
Yes.
Similar, yeah.
It's similar. The Edge and Randy
Your wife is pushing you too far.
Yeah. That is true. The thing with the Edge-Randy story, I didn't even put that together because the Edge-Randy story is, and I want to say, like, to a credit to WWE and their writing here, is very specific.
Yes.
It's a very specific beef. It's like, it's great. It's really great and nuanced and awesome and based in, it's actually based in a single moment. There's like a Franz Ferdinand spark moment where like when his dad introduced him to Edge and Edge is like, hey, maybe you got a shot, kid. And it's like, hey, I went back to that moment and I'm putting you down. Like I'm protecting you from yourself. Mm-hmm. It's great. Except Orton is so fucked up that he doesn't realize that he's doing way more harm than whatever. It's what makes Randy so great. And isn't it so great to see Randy, like, motivated?
Yeah. Firing on all cylinders. Yeah. He's a snake.
You know, because like, he was in that back, it was all smoky. And I feel like he probably was like, yo, I want it to be smoky. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like he's, like, telling them how he wants his shit to look.
Yeah.
It's great. Nice. But back to this Undertaker thing, is that...
I was going to say, I wish, and this might not have been my original thought, I wish after Reigns retired him for the first time... Yeah. Maybe that's not the first retirement. I can't even remember. He came back as like Mark, the American Badass.
Right.
Which then we could like, because yes, calling him an old man and talking about his wife and his kids, and it's like.
I had the exact same
thought.
It's
not so fun. I mean, it's a good mean angle to say, and it's, you know, it's attacking personal issues.
Well, I adore him saying, I'm going to make sure you're dead.
Woo! I mean, sure.
I yelled. I was like, oh my God.
I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you.
And like, if they're gonna
let me rephrase that, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna murder you in this ring.
AJ Styles in studio.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the phenomenal one. He's here.
Hold on. This is his hood's down.
Okay.
Hold
wait.
On. All right, AJ. Do we have to do this?
Got to do the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Wait for it.
Him. It's him.
Oh,
AJ's here.
AJ Styles in studio.
Whoa.
Wow.
The phenomenal one.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
I'm gonna murder Mark Calloway in front of 100,000 people.
For real?
Wow. I'm going to take out a gun and shoot him in the fucking face.
Whoa. AJ. This is, okay. Back it up, AJ. Huh? This is not really what we like about you. Well, no, we like when you wrestle. Like,
yeah.
I like when you put guys down with the phenomenal forearm.
Oh, yeah.
The styles clash. Yeah. I don't need you to use, like, guns.
Oh, yeah. No, man. Look. There's one thing you got to know about me is I'm a phenomenal shot. All right?
Oh, my
God. Really?
Yeah, man. Look, I'm going to hit him. I'm going to hit him with the styles clash.
Yeah.
The styles clash. I'm going to hit him with a phenomenal forearm.
The what?
But then the phenomenal forearm.
Phenomenal.
The phenomenal forearm.
No, phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Oh. No, phenomenal.
I'm saying what you're saying. Phenomenal.
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 Okay.
You know the move.
Yeah, okay.
And after I do those things, I'm going to put cold steel against his temple. I'm going to blow his fucking brains out.
That's what you want. I don't know if you understand. can't do
this
that.
This is pro wrestling.
I'm going to kill him.
At no, WrestleMania?
No. Yeah, no, you want to pin
him. He's going to rest in peace. For real.
All right, AJ, this is making me uncomfortable.
I'm nervous.
I don't watch real sports.
Oh, is it making you uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Monkey, you uncomfortable when I take that thing
out? Oh, my God. Come on.
Put it on. Yeah, I'm stressed.
Oh, no, she has a piece. He brought a piece in the studio.
Do you want me to call security?
Yeah, call security before kill you too, man.
Oh my God.
Wow. Murderous, bro.
I'm scared.
This sucks.
You don't understand. Look, he's so much bigger than me, so much stronger than me. I got to shoot him somewhere in the chest or something.
Let's talk about some of the wrestling you're going to do. Mid-match. Yeah. That's what we want. We want to hear about the wrestling. So mid-match, you're wrestling. You guys lock up. What do you do next?
Okay, fine. Well, I mean, I don't know. How am I supposed to tell you what's going to happen mid-match?
Mm. Well, yeah, you lock up.
Well, you have a plan.
Hypothetical. Come on.
I want to hear about some of... I love your wrestling moves. Let me hear some of your strategy.
I'll probably look from the... I'm much faster than he is.
Right.
So if we're locked up, collar and elbow, I'll probably take his wrist control, right?
Yeah, love
behind
that.
His back.
You
get
have
him.
Great wrist control. I love the way you do it.
That
you
sound, pop finally, around. Somebody notices, right?
Yeah.
So I take wrist control. Boom, I'm behind him.
Yeah.
While I'm behind him, I got his back. I'm going to jack him up like this, right? Bring his hand up to the middle.
Yeah.
Right, and just as it's right there, I'm gonna take out a 10-inch Damascus blade and slice his throat.
No,
really?
No!
Come on!
And just spill his crimson blood all over the ring.
Oh my God!
That's security. Do you want me to let him in?
No, AJ, let him in. AJ, we
you
got security.
Gotta go.
All right, fine.
Take your gun.
Take this guy.
Come on.
Ain't not gonna stop me from taking Mark Calloway's life.
Okay. Oh God!
Wow.
Oh holy shit, that was actually very frightening.
I am scared, honestly.
Yeah, wow.
I'm also starstruck.
Yeah, it's like a little of both.
You can hang out here, man. The people who stop by here, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
Anyway.
That was tense.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. But look, here's the deal. AJ Styles, I thought that promo was good. It's just, I understand, I'm sure it was a big discussion with them. Should they go there? AJ's not going to beat Undertaker, I don't think, right?
God, again, I guess you could say the booking is unpredictable because I don't know.
If Undertaker's going to stay around this long, he's at this point, I keep him spooky boy. I make him even more ominous, more spooky, and then have him lose to one of these spooky boys. That's right. The problem. Because if they're going to do the broken down Taker angle, I really like it. They do like Dark, I called it like Dark Knight Returns Taker.
Yeah.
I love that. But then it doesn't. It's not where I would have went given the talent that's coming up. You know, that's it. But I think it's going to be cool.
I feel like there's no long term. Believe it or not, I feel like there's no long term Undertaker plan here. It's just literally match by match.
Right.
Do your knees feel okay? Is your hip okay? And like we'll see. But it feels like Undertaker is going to beat him. But how can he beat him?
AJ's.
How can he beat AJ? I think he is too, but I mean,
AJ doesn't really gain like AJ can be like, I beat Undertaker, but you don't get to say I beat the streak. Roman's done it. Lesnar has done it. If like if Taker's around, then someone needs to beat him who like gains a lot from it. AJ's already a top
guy. Right,
they've realized too in the last couple of years, and in some instances I like it, but they've also realized lately that they can do main events that are 7 minutes because of Brock.
Yes.
And I feel like this thing doesn't go more than 12-15 minutes.
Let's hope not. Yeah.
I think AJ's gonna do a lot of flying,
AJ can make a lot. I mean, AJ can make a lot work.
You said you lost your pride and mystique. You're just a broken down old man, and I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna kill you. You're dead. I think I will say the best part is I think this really cemented AJ as a heel.
Yeah,
I feel like AJ has been kind of like we love AJ. It's
Uncle
AJ.
Allen.
And they're a bunch of like bros or whatever. This was like he's like an evil guy, and I think we need to push. AJ needs to go further.
So I agree. I'm gonna wear your skin around.
So anyway, I'm excited for that match. It gives it more. Michelle McCool doesn't interest me.
No.
You know, Michelle McCool is like,
well, she just hasn't been around a lot.
Right. So
it's not
incorporating her. It's like, oh, Undertaker's a married guy with kids. Like,
But that the mystique is gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish she was just Biker Taker.
I kind of agree. I'm like, oh, maybe he goes Biker Taker.
Give me
then
the bike. Give me Limp Bizkit.
Yes.
Give me the
or Kid Rock.
Brown leather.
Yeah. Yes. Biker Taker.
Over time, American Badass Taker. Now I really like when I see it, I pop for it.
I agree.
I hated it then. And then now I'm like, oh, that thing was, that was fucking cool. He was cool.
American Bad, when it went to Roland, I got a little less interested, even though I think the Roland entrance is cool. But
American
Bad. They call me cowboy. Is that the song?
That was, they did a.
Or no, that's the other one. That's the other one.
Did a song called American Bad.
Right.
Then it came out, Rolling, Limp Bizkit. And then.
WrestleMania Net 17.
Yeah. Although I love Limp Bizkit because they sing My Way, which is
the greatest
to almost every morning on the way to the gym.
Well, featured on Cowtoons, the official Comedians Wrestling podcast
playlist.
You guys
hear
this podcast defends Limp Bizkit.
Absolutely. See all Fred Durst movies, please. Do you guys want to hear my Seth Rollins booking?
I'm all right.
I will listen to it.
This is supposed to be one of the greats.
I will listen to this, yes.
Okay, everyone, get ready for this amazing booking. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm. Should we close our eyes?
Is cage being lowered?
I'm lowering the idea into my head.
The idea cage. Yeah.
Suspended before, I'm above you.
Okay, all right, ready?
Yeah.
So you guys know Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I heard of him.
Is the Monday Night Messiah right now.
He's going for
a Messiah giving. Okay. What if to his new recruits, right? Mm-hmm. He does curb stomp baptisms. He sets you down. He's got Murphy comes out, sets up a little water. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then he's like, "You ready? Are you ready for this?" He curb stomps you into the water. You see the light. All of a sudden, you're a fucking immediate follower. Seth Rollins.
That's like a religious overtones, obviously. Obviously, it already is.
He already is stained glass. I'm the Messiah. He's already doing sermons.
He's like shaking hands.
You don't even have to call it baptisms because that might be controversial. And you know what? You don't even need the water.
No.
It could just be onto the mat.
It just knocks
a sense into you.
Jumped in.
Right. Immediately, you get hit by it. It's like, Are you ready? And he holds your head first for a second.
He kisses you.
He kisses it. And then he gives you the fucking curb stop. And then your immediate disciple. Yeah. Next time you come out, you're wearing the same pants that Murphy wears. That same outfit.
Beautiful.
Yeah. No, I love it.
I like it.
Because you can also do it against somebody's will. You can convert somebody. Hold him down.
The supernatural element, though, because he would just do it to everybody. Immediate turn. I feel like it turns some people, but not maybe ever.
If I had to book it, I wouldn't be like, he just does it to you and it works. Maybe one time it does or whatever. It's not just if you get a curb stop, you have to be already you're begging him for the curb stop.
Yeah, that's what
give me the curb stop. You're like, I want to be submitted to you. He's a cult leader.
Or you're conflicted. You don't want to, but you know you need the Monday Night Messiah.
Right.
Yeah, and so the way you get away with him. Is you don't make it Christianity. Mm-hmm. You make it Scientology, which is fair game.
Right.
Well, fair game is...
Much, much more evil version of Christianity.
You should start writing fiction novels.
He's the master now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Walk from this end of the ring that end of the ring and then back for the whole thing.
What's one of my favorite scenes in that master's?
You should stop asking questions you don't want the answers to. Pig fuck.
They're both dead, those guys. Both actors are dead. It's that guy who was in the first season of Silicon Valley. He was the autistic
dead.
Yeah, he died. He had cancer. Great actor. He's in there, and it's Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he's arguing, and he's just like, "What about science?"
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah.
He backs. They're going back and forth, and then he backs Philip Seymour Hoffman into a corner where he has no justification for his bullshit, and then he just says, "You pig fuck,
fuck."
It's one of my favorite scenes. I love that movie.
It's the greatest movie.
It's a really good one.
I used to live across the street from the Scientology Celebrity Center,
and
I would see into the window
good for you. You just reminded me. We needed that sound drop.
Damn it.
Of Rollins doing it.
And I would see people doing pacing for literally hours.
Sure.
Pacing from one end of the room to the other, touching a wall, walk back, touch this wall, walk back, touch for 5 hours straight.
Yeah. See any celebs doing it?
No.
Mm. Wow. Mm. Celebrity Center, huh?
Elizabeth
Moss, what a great actress.
Well,
you find out she's a Scientologist, it's like, what a fucking bummer, right? Yeah.
She's someone who was raised in the church.
I was going to say, it's hard when that's when you were you're all you knew as a kid.
Yeah, until you're a rich adult and you just go.
Well, a lot of these people are breaking
out against you. Like everyone's like, they're gonna reveal all these secrets. Like what? You masturbate? Like what?
No. A lot of the people who are like raised in the church, like Beck and Jason Lee, are starting to leave.
Jason Lee left already.
Yeah, Beck left. Beck left, but they do it low key, probably to not stir up shit, because then you become. Yeah. Fair
Public
game.
Enemy number one.
Yeah.
Fuck that, dude. I'm about to become a Scientologist just to leave. Just bring it on. None of you can beat me. There's not a single Scientologist on this earth that can beat me. Hmm. Fucking bring it. Bring this. What are they called? The Squirrel Busters? What do they call those motherfuckers?
We're going to tell people you masturbate.
Yeah, I'll beat everyone. I'll beat John Travolta up. Line them up. Tom Cruise, line them up.
See, the thing is, like, John Travolta, some of those guys, are like...
Giovanni Ribisi,
closeted homosexuals, right? That's why, like, they won't.
Yes.
And so, and they're big actors, so they don't.
But
want
that's
that.
Even stupider. It's like, come look out, look outside. Like, everyone's gay. Bullies are gay.
Everyone's gay.
Everyone's gay.
Everyone's gay. You heard it here second. All right.
Not a big deal.
Wow. I don't know how my great Seth Rollins booking became this conversation, but it did. All right. Speaking of, this is on topic. Daniel Bryan had a wardrobe malfunction at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Hey, folks. But it was all over my... I couldn't escape. First of all, I didn't watch it. Who gives a fuck?
No.
Yeah. Are you, like, who needs to see... Like, what? Well, I'm not clicking on that.
Who needs to see Earth's Champions?
Yeah, I didn't see it. I chose not to see it.
Balls came out. What are you going to see his balls? Oh, it's Daniel Bryan's balls!
I just feel really... I feel uncomfortable thinking about, like, if I was wearing tights that tight, the force for which a ball would have to, like, come out.
The velocity.
It's such an uncomfortable thing to think about. Just one ball? I mean, they're pretty...
I thought both came out.
Both came out?
That's a whole sack right there.
Man, truly.
Oof.
Ugh.
I didn't see it. Yeah. I chose not to look at it or click any links.
How does it not happen more often?
Yeah, I don't
know. Well, trunks are tight, right?
Some of them wear like a thong underneath, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm trying to think.
I mean, there's one person in this room who's worn trunks multiple times.
Here's the thing. I've worn trunks multiple times in matches exclusively, although I think Shebs referred to them as a bikini.
I thought he called them tinies.
I think he said a bikini. He said, I prefer the bikini is what
Small
he said.
Clothing.
But and Shebs said he's a singlet man. I think this is, I would say, when you put them on, they because I get them made, my guy who makes trunks, he makes trunks for... tons of wrestlers. I didn't even realize. I was actually looking at his page, and I was like, he does, like, major guys. I think he makes Alistair's trunks. Yeah. But, so, you know, it's a small field, right? Yeah. It's very niche. But, like, the one thing that I didn't realize, but once I put him on, I was like, oh, this is why your nuts never come out. Like, right. this is why. The legs part is so thick. And actually, the thing about wearing trunks is that every time I wear trunks, I'm always a little bummed because I'm like, I'm in better shape than these trunks are showing because they hug you so much.
Yeah.
They make you look, like, when I wear, like, my just regular brief boxers or, like, even... I don't have briefs. I only have boxer briefs.
Back pedal there.
I don't have briefs. I only have boxer briefs. But when I wear those, they don't hug as tight because I'm not worried about being wrestling pants.
Right.
You're like, oh, I look good. You put on the trunks, they squeeze you like a motherfucker so they won't come off.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I'm saying. Did his balls, did they rip? And then the balls came out of a rip or did they come out of like the side? Because if they came out of the side, there's a lot of pressure there.
The only thing I can imagine is if they did come out the side, they got like pulled to the side and like a ball slipped out.
Yeah, because when something's so tight, just sometimes if it's like moves slightly, there's nowhere else for the balls to go.
Right.
So now that it's been they have to pop out. It's like two balloons, and you got them in like a plastic bag, and the plastic bag is so tight. Like, it's just a little bit of movement. It has to shoot out.
Yeah.
It's just physics. Science.
Yeah. It's gross science.
So,
it's
let's move off that for a second. Come on, guys. Let's grow up a little bit.
Ew.
But I want to talk a little bit about something. I talked about this on the bonus app with Tulo, but Jake the Snake appeared on AEW last week.
Mm-hmm.
And completely unannounced, completely unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And I like jumped up like a little kid.
Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wow, this week Edge comes back. right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Edge is coming here. He's coming later tonight. It was like when Edge showed up, I barely cared.
Which, by the way,
which I'm waiting for forever.
Mistake.
What?
He should have been out till WrestleMania.
Keep him on ice.
Until WrestleMania? Mm.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Well, they didn't even establish the match, though.
Ugh, I mean, you know what I mean? But to come back and get one over on him is just like...
Well, the thing is that I would think Edge came back. It was like, oh, he came back and he was fine. That right. I also think was a little weird. It was like, yeah, I was like, why? He should come out like, and he's like, you know, has to like kind of limp or whatever. And right. then Edge put him down again.
Right.
And then set up that like he's going to wrestle at Mania, like that, something like that.
Yeah.
And he's got to come in injured, but like it's going to happen. Is it going to happen? Or have him accept the match, you know, something like that. But I feel like for him to come in and then he, they wanted to make him look strong, but then he RKO'd. It wasn't my favorite booking. It wasn't terrible either. The crowd loved it. Keep in mind, these are live crowds. They want to see Edge.
He murdered right. MVP.
Yeah, he murdered MVP. He knew MVP was there just to show, like, he's fired up.
Yeah.
He was going to get speared, you know? You thought he was going to join MVP's new stable? Edge? Was gonna
yeah.
Woof.
But no. Yeah, it was like what I felt like. What an unexciting way to bring back Edge. They've spent all. This is their most working story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's their most working story. It's like wow, Edge is coming back. It's going to be big. Like you think Randy's going to be in the ring and Edge is going to come out of nowhere, which is very precedented Edge classic.
You think you know me?
Edge spotlights around mm-hmm. the crowd, and then he comes from the crowd. And Edge hits, you know, that was the way to go, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, WWE, you know, reminds me of like when they have all these leaks. AJ Taker, we knew was happening way mm-hmm. before. And AJ, on the Instagram, they literally had, is AJ the new Mr. WrestleMania? That was their post 2 weeks before.
Right.
2 or 3 weeks before the Saudi Arabia show where Taker shows up. Here's what I'm saying. WWE, if they're going to announce everything, then they need to get even more ahead of us. Mm-hmm. But they treat us like they're not announcing everything. Do you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, right.
Like, your booking needs to be even more slick if you're going to announce everything. But like AEW, it was like the Jake Snake thing wasn't like particularly slick. All they did was just keep it under wraps.
Right.
Imagine that.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I understand there's more people probably involved in the organization. It's harder to keep that stuff under wraps in WWE because AEW is a tighter knit thing probably at least at this point.
Yeah.
But at the very least, you have to like, I mean, it's probably you have a little more work to do as far as like delivering on something that's like satisfying to the audience. But like, but booking that you know where it's going can be very satisfying. Like
yes.
New Japan does it all the time where you go, I know where this is going, but they do it in such a way that you feel very good and fulfilled.
Well, like you knew Edge is coming back, right?
Right.
We know he's going to come back and he's going to set up the match. Like we know all that.
Yeah.
But we know all that. But why go the extra step to be like, he's here tonight the whole first 2 hours.
Well, I wonder.
Does it get that many more viewers?
I wonder why.
Yeah, I guess it maybe
like
helps.
Edge, what I'm saying is like, how many fans, I'm always trying to figure this out in my head. How many fans are like, I'm not watching Raw, but oh, if I see Edge is on, I will.
I think there are a lot because he's still an old school guy. I think that's still part of it. Matt Hardy's segments with Randy were doing really well.
Right.
In the quarter or whatever you call them, quarter hours.
It must be what it is. And it's just now we just live in this era of like, everything has to be announced because it just is what it is.
Do you think,
I get why they do it.
Do you think that there's any merit to the idea that like, so like with house shows,
right.
what they'll do is they'll do sometimes like exciting things, like they'll drop a belt or they'll do something and it builds this thing where it's like, you gotta go to house shows because something cool could happen.
Right.
Jake the Snake coming out makes me want to watch AEW more because I'm like, oh, unexpected shit could happen. I can't miss this.
Yeah, right? And people are literally like, who is Jake the Snake's guy going to be?
Right, so like with WWE, it's like, they for some reason, for house shows, they get it. But for the main show, they want to telegraph everything. Right. Instead of having it be an atmosphere of like, you can't not watch because something surprising might happen.
Right. The only thing they do consistently is they do Brock right. Like sometimes they're willing to not announce Brock.
Right.
They're willing to have Brock just show up at the last second. Like he flew in just for it. And you're like, maybe that's just because he is the champion and they have to. You know what I mean? But I'm like, is it? My head, Brock's a way bigger draw than like an Edge. you know?
I think at this point, though, because the business has changed. Right. The whole business money-wise has changed. It used to be pay-per-view. It used to be on the road. Now it's all TV rights. Yeah. It's all TV rights fees.
It's all advertising.
It's all advertising for that rating. So I think that they are their mindset is not to leave anything to chance when it comes to like being able to promote something.
Yeah.
But it does lead to less big surprises in general.
Yeah. So what match closes out the show right now if you're booking this show?
WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. okay, what is
so
it?
You,
Brock
I guess
versus
you,
Drew?
You kind of always want to send them home happy. Obviously, we've though it's precedented that
Reigns
that Brock that Vince thinks Reigns winning means people are happy.
Yes,
but like so the things that if Drew McIntyre wins the title, then that could close out the show.
Yeah.
People would go nuts. Brock, the new champion, Drew McIntyre. But I don't think Drew's going to beat Brock.
I don't think he's going to beat Brock either.
No.
Is it Cena in the main event?
F5s and then.
Yeah. Well, I don't think so because there's no title involved.
Right.
But a lot of the top matches all feel short to me. Like Brock, Drew might go 12 minutes.
Right.
15 minutes. But it does feel like you want like a nice 18 to 25 minute match for the main event. But which match is that?
It is
none of them.
Yeah, but like, I mean, Edge Orton? Edge beating Orton? Does that pop everybody enough to be at the end of the show?
If that was for the world title, you could, I think, make an argument.
It has to be one of the title matches.
Yeah, but yeah I have a feeling they, gun to the head, they end the show with, I don't think they'll end it with Goldberg Reigns, to be honest, because Goldberg can't wrestle that long, right?
That match is five.
I think Drew Brock is what they close the show out with.
That's with Drew probably winning.
And then, if you close it with that match,
yeah,
that feels like the closest thing. Or is it AJ Undertaker again? A match that can't go seems like it can't go very long.
Well, I think
they're backed into a corner here because the problem is that Drew also can't low blow Brock. They already used that card on Rollins last year.
Yeah. Oh, well, and they could do it again.
Yeah. I don't think
Vince forgot.
Yeah. I mean, if they have it just Brock has to only win with low blows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But it's Yeah, it's gonna be it's an interesting WrestleMania. I feel like when I really look at it, taking that title off the Fiend significantly lowered my excitement for this show. I was really pumped to see like Fiend going into Mania as the champion. Even Fiend Reigns for the title.
Which is what we kind of all thought that was where we were going. Main event.
Mm-hmm. I'd even be Fiend, excited to gimme. Boo Reigns. Yeah. Like Reigns wins and then I get to like be like, I was there to boo the fuck out of Reigns.
Sure.
Again.
I don't know. We'll see. It's an interesting show because it does really feel like whether Vince likes it or not, it's transitional. They are trying to push new people.
Yeah.
But will Vince beat them all and they'll go to main event after this?
Yeah.
It's possible.
Well, the other piece of news is Sami Zayn is the new Intercontinental Champion, which was a major curveball, I thought.
Yeah. I was listening to Dave Meltzer's thing or whatever, and they made Braun look stupid by following him under the ring. And then, like, the announcers accused him of, like, cheating, even though that was the match. Like, the match was three on one.
Yeah, because he crawled under.
Well, but they accused Sami of winning, like, cheating in general. And it's like, well, that was the match. It was three on one. And then also Braun, like, chasing him under, like, he got screwed. Like, they were acting like maybe he got screwed. I don't know.
Oh, no, I don't know.
I know the whole angle is weird.
Well, what do you do with the IC title at Mania now?
I don't know. Is Sami okay? I've read he's still like kind of hurt.
They must not be hurt, right? They put the title on him.
I don't know. Because a couple weeks ago,
to
I read
the IC title not on Mania.
This is one of my favorite guys, Sami Zayn.
Right.
And I understand a lot has to do with injury, but also Vince just sees him as like a twerpy guy, and it sucks.
Here's what you do with it at WrestleMania, or here's what they'll do with it at WrestleMania. Pre-show, defending against a fucking.
Just pick someone. Pick someone. Maybe
you could see Braun taking it back, though, right?
Yeah, I feel like in my head, I was really like, oh, they'll make the Andre the Giant match for the IC title.
Yeah.
And then Sami, like, eke out a win, like, hiding under the, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I think, you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
It's kind of a bummer. The IC title to me is like such a, it's such an easy title to book for me where it's like, just make it truly like the good wrestling title.
Yeah.
Like why? I was like, IC champion, you have it like, I guess they're kind of, well, it seems like what they're doing right now is the IC title has no identity, mm-hmm. right? And the United States Championship is like the Lucha title.
Is it? I don't even know where it is right now.
Wait, who has it?
It's Andrade.
Andrade,
and he's
got
in
it.
Like a loop right now wrestling
with Garza and Rey.
Garza, like they have that kind of like.
And they are all just trading wins in perpetuity.
It's like, yeah. It's just like the division. And literally Garza and Andrade are managed by Zelina.
Yes.
Yeah, that, I saw that. I tuned in and I was confused by that.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, but you know they're putting on some nice matches.
Sure,
but I'm just saying the IC title to me is always a very special title.
Yeah, of course.
And but the title they made, it's a nice looking title.
I do like it. Yeah,
it's nice looking, but it doesn't feel like the IC title. It should have a different colored strap at least, like the white title, and it should be like. I feel like it should be like with the Miz, where it's like it feels right. important.
That's the most memorable.
Isn't it too supposed to swear to be like the like. Mid-card guardian. It's like the guy who's at the top of the mid-card before the like main event.
That's kind of like what it was when Miz had it, and right. then it's just since then I think kind of just like been passed around.
Right. Like if you get past the IC title, you're a potential for like the main.
Yeah, I think it's like sometimes they've done it like that. Sometimes they do it like it's like the second best person almost in the company.
Right.
But either of those, I think, is a good way to think of it. But now, yeah, it's just a prop that's randomly
prize.
Thrown yes. around. I mean, Sammy, a great IC champion. I doubt he's going to like get to have awesome wrestling matches to defend it. But
right.
That's,
it's just like they kind of just they throw the title around. Why not make the IC like what I would do with the IC title is like with the IC division is like give it like a different feel. Like make it feel like real fights. Like it's kind of almost like they announce every IC match. Like every IC match is one on one. Every IC match is like sure. the announcer comes out and every and it's always on the line. Like just make it constantly every week it's defended or something, or every other week or whatever.
Well, like Cena's U.S. title challenge, beautiful. Which is one of the best mm-hmm. things in the last 5 years. How long ago was that?
It was WrestleMania 31, so it was like 5 years.
Yeah,
ago.
Those matches were fantastic, and you'd have a nice long match with it, and you would like help get those guys a little bit more over.
Yeah, but that, great.
It had an identity there.
Yeah, it's like, and then have the IC division like just kind of serious, like serious wrestling. But mm-hmm. the thing is, the IC title, they never let anyone run with it since The Miz. Like, even like Finn had it for 4 seconds. Uh-huh. Braun had it and did really, it felt like, it almost like.
For a week?
Yeah.
Shinsuke had it for a while, but that was a
and
zero.
And Shinsuke was like buried with it, right?
If I ran up to Vince McMahon at like 3 a.m. when he's working out at Titan Tower, and I go, name all your champions, what do you think the chances are he could name all of them?
I mean, 0%. No chance.
Was zero. No chance
in hell.
Yeah. He could maybe do the world champions, but that's my guess. But yeah, because he doesn't matter. Doesn't give a shit.
No.
He really should, like, when you think about it, because I always read like, oh, you know, Vince is more about moments. WrestleMania moments. Right. Everything's moments. He doesn't care about it like an actual storyline. It does feel like he should be like storyboarding a movie.
Right.
That's in his, because obviously the famous quote from Beyond the Mat, where we make movies. You know, we all remember this when he takes the weird drink of water. Beyond the Mat.
It's on Netflix right now, right?
Yes.
It's one of my favorite
Beyond the
weird.
Mat since I saw it in theaters.
I mean,
oh,
isn't,
me too.
Yeah.
Isn't his, I mean, it's kind of like his whole, you're right. He's more about moments than about story, but that's sort of like me being like, I'm all about crops. Am I going to plant anything? No, never,
well,
not
of course.
Yes. But I love
but
crops.
I love
Gotta
crops.
Have the crops.
But he probably, I think, because, you know, the famous story is he hasn't seen a movie since Something About Mary or something. Like, and like, that's why the Mae Young thing happens at Royal Rumble 2000 where she takes her shirt off is because he saw it in that movie.
The boobs. Right.
Yes, the boobs.
The boobs.
But he only sees movies. I'm sure he's just like Trump brain where he just likes, I like a movie. I like the part where the guy got shot up with the machine gun. Like that's probably Vince's brain.
Lizard,
and that's how
Lizard brain.
He like enjoys entertainment. He's not even paying. He doesn't know the plot of like Rambo. He doesn't have any sympathy for
it's
like
moments.
The
it's not like
guy.
What's compelling.
Full circles. Like, I actually this week was almost like, I cannot believe that like people are like, actually, this is that people are like, yeah, it's good for The Fiend that he dropped that title to Goldberg, that he got. It's like, guys, he took fucking four spears.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to make the argument that
it's
he...
What are we talking
about,
guys?
But if you want to make the argument that he never should have gotten the belt...
Fine. That's a valid argument. Right. And that's like, maybe he's better without it because then he can do more of his thing. I completely get that, but it's... is that when we get to this Mania season, WWE gets very sloppy, you know, and it's just, it's happening again.
WWE fans need to be checked for Stockholm Syndrome because Twitter, I see all this stuff where they're criticizing AEW or this is stupid or this doesn't make any sense. And it's like, it's all actually wrestling. Like, you're not even noticing that you're actually... There's really only a couple dials turned, like, for stuff to make a little more sense, or like as if Orange Cassidy is so much sillier than Santino. Like.
Speaking of Orange Cassidy, sorry, but Enosh.
Oh, is that the guy who I was talking about earlier?
Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of wrestling.
I love the casual. I love when people just see wrestling and they say, like, I saw a cool thing. It actually plays, it's really helpful for
the
plot.
It was like one of those tweets that was unrelated. It was like, when I'm trying to dodge my responsibilities or whatever, and it showed this wrestling clip, but I was just enamored with the wrestling
clip. What was the clip?
It was this guy running back and forth, dodging clotheslines.
Yeah.
But he had his hands in his pockets.
And
just casually running back and forth, and then he does a flip over the guy, still hands in his pockets, and then he drop kicks him, still hands in his pockets, and then
kick up.
Then he turns to the hard kick.
So he kick ups, and then he's on his, and then he's just standing there, and he faces the crowd in a way that was the best thing I've ever seen in my life. He was
so casual.
He's the innovator of indifference.
Say he's the king of sloth style. Is what they've been calling him. I said this. This is what I'm not going to brag months and months ago because Orange was only on my radar about a year ago. Last time around Mania season, he had his own show in like the GCW family. But I was like, this guy, I think, could be a main eventer because I've been seeing him now at PWG a lot. He is absolutely the type of character that is like missing from wrestling that a common folk could walk in and go, I get it.
Yep.
Because like my girlfriend, she's doing some upstairs. We're watching AEW Revolution and she's like, and somebody's like, oh, Lindsay, you going to watch the show? And she's like, I don't know, I really feel like watching wrestling today. I go, well, there's an Orange Cassidy match. And she goes, oh, I'll see that. I'll watch that.
Nice.
So like that is, beautiful. That is what wrestling needs. Is guys like that and people that are doing like a gimmick that's very accessible.
I'm an Orange Cassidy mark. One of my guys.
He's great.
One of one.
And there's another wrestler. There's another wrestler who would immediately be one of your guys, and we forgot to talk about him. His name's Otis Dojovic.
Otis.
He's fucking killing it. Yeah. Otis, by the way, heavy machinery the chamber. I forgot to talk about it and the reason I forgot to talk about it is because this match was like the tag divisions in WWE is like, who has the tag titles? Who fucking knows?
Well, of course I know because it's The Miz and John Morrison.
Oh, your boy, John Morrison.
My boy.
But yeah, like Otis, I mean, come on. Stole the show. First off, he caught Ziggler.
Yeah.
He
doesn't even budge.
Him.
Easily.
Yeah. Yes.
Off of the top of the pod.
Yes.
That was crazy.
Oh, yeah. Because that's a high pod.
What must that feel like? To leap into the arms of another man and then be caught with such aplomb. Like, just, he didn't move at all. It was just like, now I'm holding you.
It's not the great Khali either, who's tall like has a wide, like, span.
No,
wide
it's like
wingspan.
Jumping into a couch.
Yeah.
Like, you're just there.
Jump
didn't
into
move
his arms.
At all.
Yeah.
And then 100. Otis ran through the full pod.
Oh, that was crazy.
It was fucking funny. Yeah. That is funny. And again, this brings me back to my same point I said last week, and I think it all stems from Jericho. Comedy talents can be champions in WWE.
100%.
In AEW, in wrestling.
But people
wrestling is comedy. Like, it is not real fighting.
Yeah. Also, people have different, like, moods. I'm funny sometimes, I hope, and sometimes I'm serious. Like, there's no reason Otis, who's a jacked dude, like, Otis can lift. Are you on
Instagram?
Yeah,
Instagram?
Yeah, of course, I followed him.
Do you watch him at his Instagram Live where he's just constantly cooking meat and going, oh, look at the meat here, look at this meat. And it's just like 40 clips of that.
700 pounds,
why can't Otis, Jericho at 50 years old, convinced everybody that he was strong enough to wrestle all these young guys and be the champion, the heavyweight champion. It's like, why Orange Cassidy, what he's doing could be the go on an IC run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's to me, it's like that is more interesting than I'm sorry, Finn Balor, even a Johnny Gargano. I'll give you like these guys are great, great talents. They're great wrestlers, but they do start getting this thing. I'm like, oh, they're kind of just a guy. Right. Like, why? It doesn't mean. And those guys, and there's always room for a guy. There's always room for a wrestler who's just a guy and great at what they do. They need interesting talents to wrestle against. Orange Cassidy versus Pac. Pac's just a guy, right? But like an amazing talent. It made Pac cooler.
Yes, because you want a juxtaposition sometimes between talent. Yeah. You want, and NXT is probably guilty of being a little more straightforward with all the characters, where they're all sort of like presented as a little more realistic. I think a lot of these people have a lot more personality and quirk that maybe they're not even showing off in NXT.
Well, NXT, I talked about this on the Patreon episode this week. You check it out. I recorded live from my Prius.
Very dangerous, by the way.
Yeah, no, not driving. I was parked.
Very weird, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
Fully parked Prius. I'm very down on NXT personally. I think exactly what you said. NXT just feels like the land of the tough guy.
Well, you know,
it's tough guy alley. It's like, I'm gonna beat you. You're gonna beat me. It's not. It feels like why I never was a Triple H mark. You know,
right.
He's things like, oh, I'm gonna beat you because I'm gonna game you, and that's it. You're like, I want to see. Otis Dojovic. Right. I want to see. That doesn't mean the only talent I like.
No.
But even like Moxley right now is like pretty funny or whatever. Like, I mean, he's not like the most hilarious, but he's doing something interesting. You know what I mean?
And like, well, but like even like Gargano, who I just saw the house show in Rivers. Like Gargano's like a funny guy. Like Gargano was after the show was over, they're all goofing around on the microphone and you get to see everyone being, you know, more of a three-dimensional person. Whereas I think on NXT,
I hated that thing with Moro, that interview with Moro that Gargano did.
Yeah.
This is a snooze. It's like, he's just like, you don't know what I've been through, Moro. Moro's like, okay, you're being unprofessional. I gotta go.
You're being unprofessional.
Yeah. He's like, I gotta go. Like, you don't know the pain I've been through. Gargano, is what you have to say. You know what I mean?
Like, do you want to hear me say, this is a funny Moro story that I look like an idiot. I saw a show in Full Sail NXT while I was in Orlando doing our podcast, The Ride Live Show. Yeah. And Moro walked by at the end of the show and I said, hey, great job, man. I didn't fucking hear anything he said. I was in the audience. Just I wanted to say something to him.
Yeah.
And man, and he just was, you know, thank you. And I went, what did I just
say? Oh my God. I told this story before, but I walked by, I don't know, when I was like, 21, I walked by Jonathan Davis from Korn, getting off of the Korn tour bus.
Yeah.
Walked by him, recognized him.
Were you at the Family Values tour?
No, I literally, like, no one saw them. Like, no, like, probably minutes later, they were swarmed.
Yeah.
I walked by, he happened to step off the bus right in front of me. The most distinct looking guy. He was like full that zone.
Full Bakersfield.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I just go like, hey, I like your music.
That's
I'm not a Korn fan. I just said it because you know when you, it's like what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You saw him and you want to, your brain's like, say something.
You're capitalizing on that experience.
By the way, now when I hear those couple of Korn songs, like A Freak on a Leash or whatever, those songs are one of my guys.
Okay, fair enough.
What's the one that's like, falling away from me?
Falling away from me.
Yeah. Well, I like that. I'll listen to that.
Bam, 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 bam. Which one? Bam. I think we should add, what's
Freak
the
on a leash?
Freak on a Leash.
Falling Away From Me is the one I prefer.
Really?
There's always room for two
Korn tunes on Cowtunes.
So he came into, I used to work at an animal hospital, and his pet was like not doing well, and he came in, and I had to pretend like I didn't know it was fucking Jocko. I'm like,
wow.
I was 13 years old when you were at the height of your
Remember
shit.
When they played the concert on the plane?
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
What was that?
For any Jonathan Davis fans, Davis, right?
Yeah.
Davis.
Yeah.
Go see the Chris Angel show in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah?
Because he's in a video.
Oh.
There's an original.
I think there's original music he wrote for a segment of the
For the Mind Freak?
Chris Angel for Mind the Mind Freak.
Freak.
Yeah.
Mind Freak.
For all you freak Mind your Freak. Mind. All you Mind Freaks on a leash out there. Mind Freaks on a Leash? All right. I think I'm still pumped for Mania. I keep saying every time, like, there's definitely, you know, there's some sloppiness in WWE. It's a major machine. They have Drew's working, Edge Orton story's working, Becky Shayna. I guess I'm interested to see it.
Becky.
Yeah.
Because it's Becky.
It's Becky.
Charlotte, Rhea, I'll be honest, I have no interest in that match. I'm not a Rhea mark at all, except for to see Charlotte do a moonsault. I just want to see Charlotte beat the shit out of Rhea Ripley. If Rhea Ripley pins Charlotte, I'll be very annoyed. I'm excited to see Goldberg enter. Thinking about being boots on the ground. I'll always pop for Goldberg entering. And what else we got? Cena Fiend. I'm still pumped for that match. The build's gonna be great. It's gonna be cool. It's just a bummer that it's not for the time. Like as a reality setting in, you're like, yeah, I'm pumped for that match. It's cool. Yeah. They're gonna go at it. But it would just be cool to see Fiend. Mm. Fiend. You know, here's what I'm saying. I always think of WrestleMania as like, I love to think it's like rewarding good work. You know,
yeah,
like it's a meritocracy, and it's like, hey, there's limited spots, and like you fucking killed it this year, and that's why you get. And it does happen on Mania sometimes.
Sure.
Kofi, the Kofi thing, but that's more of like a response. But it does happen. But like Fiend, that's what I'm saying, is like Fiend deserved to go into this Mania as the champion. He killed it this year. Let's see the merch sales. Show me the numbers. I know he's the number one merch seller this year. 100%.
Easily.
You know? Seems like it, yeah. I think maybe there'll be at least some sort of Ziggler-Otis thing going on.
I fucking hope so.
That
feels like where they're headed with it. And obviously that could be good. I like, yeah.
Ziggler-Otis for the IC, that's a Mania match.
Sure.
IC title. And by the way, Ziggler should be the IC champion.
Why not?
Ziggler should be the IC champion. Yep. He really should be. And he should be, it should be really hard to beat him.
100%.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Believable.
Anyway.
Just because he got me a white claw.
Mike, anything else you wanted to say that you needed the people to know about? It can be personal. It
about
can be
me.
Wrestling.
Yeah, tell us something about yourself we need to know.
I like going on rides. People know that, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have much else here.
Well, if you love rides, you got to check out Podcast The Ride.
Yeah,
yes,
I love rides and I love this podcast. It's really
thank
good.
You.
You're welcome. I'm a fan.
Thank you. It's very, but a lot of nonsense too. If you just want to hear, like, we have an episode on our Patreon and now we unlocked it. It's about McGruff the Crime Dog and his music career, which he has multiple albums.
Yeah.
And they're actually legit good songs. Listen to our show as well. It's also robots and, you know, Chuck E. Cheese shit.
Mm-hmm.
No, I love it. I feel like it's when I heard that was the idea when you started the podcast, I was like, such a fucking good idea for a podcast. Like, I love rides.
Sure.
So much to be talking about this stuff. But you know, I'm sure people were, but people not who were cool and
right.
funny. they're freaks, genetic freaks. Speaking of genetic freaks, Scott Steiner, just want to. He sounds like he's going to recover,
is what they're saying. I had such a fright when I got a couple texts that the big bad booty daddy was on his last legs, because my friend Justin Donaldson texted me, and he really made it sound like it was over. And I went, well, I guess it was a good run. But then like 20 minutes later, it was like, Tommy Dreamer says he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, thank goodness. That Shoney's would not have had a manager.
Absolutely.
Oh,
and the chain mail. I still think chain mail is more... It's one of the best looks.
Chainmail accompanied by no other piece of armor.
Just
the head part of the chainmail.
And you wear chainmail to put the helmet on top of.
Right.
And no helmet. Just
no
the
helmet needed.
It's a great look.
Yeah. You want the rest of the armor? Don't need it.
Oh, no. Any word from Hassan?
No, I couldn't get through. The line wasn't working. I called. It was just like flat. No.
Are you sure you had it set up?
I tried. It wasn't the UCB connection. I tested
flat.
It.
What the fuck?
Weird.
All right. We'll try to get Hassan, the number one contender, back on here, but I'm glad we got to know him more.
Yeah.
I'm pumped to wrestle him. I'm pumped to know that it's going to be a nice, clean fucking match. Me versus Hassan. Me versus a huge dude. And look, if I lose 1, 2, 3, which not going to happen, I'm very prepared for guys this strong. I have them mapped out. I have them figured out. But I'm happy for the challenge. April 4th, Cow Mania 2, with special guest Peter Rosenberg. Skylar Astin is a special guest referee in the Cow title shot, and special guest ring enforcer Dolph Ziggler in Tampa, baby. You get your tickets now, calmania.brownpapertickets.com. It's going to be at the Cuban Club right before Hop, Skip, and a Jump before NXT. Mm-hmm. And you get your tickets now and get your cow hoodies if you're a patron. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Remember, this podcast is grassroots. It demands and commands your support. And AEW NXT episode covering this week in AEW NXT will be coming out on Friday morning for you. Mike, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. All right, should we call him back or what? What do you?
Yeah, I'll give it a try.
All right, let's just do it. All right.
Comedians of wrestling.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.